This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Oh, it's the day after we got a chance to see Justin Fields in a Bears uniform. You want to jump in? 312-332-3776. First couple drives, not much to see. But he said he had to get over those first two drives.
Everybody on offense, I was just like, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, if we just stay on track, stay on schedule instead of putting ourselves in situations, second and 12, second and 13. I mean, that's hard to be successful when, you know, you're an offense and you're dealing with second and 13, third and 14. I mean, if we get a positive play each play, then, you know, we give ourselves a better chance to convert on third downs and stuff like that. So I was just trying to get the guys to understand that and, you know, just play ball and just go out there and, you know, execute like we do in practice.
Now, what he said is so basic and, you know, you gain yards, it makes it a lot easier.
Sometimes it needs to be said, even though it is so absolutely basic.
But it's nice to hear the rookie saying it to the other guys when he gets to the huddle. Hey, guys, we got to stop screwing up, shooting ourselves in the foot. We got to make sure we do the right things.
See, this is a level of calm and collected.
Yep.
You know, he said he wasn't nervous. He said the game was actually slower than he anticipated.
Yep.
That's all good.
That's great stuff. All of it's great. Jesse James with a touchdown reception and basically was all by himself. Justin Fields would have been, it would have been tough if he would have missed him. And then he backed into the end zone. And Fields also running for an 8-yard touchdown run. He had 5 carries for 33 yards, 14 for 20, throwing the ball 142 yards, 106.7 quarterback passer rating. We get to your calls, 312-332-3776. Let's go down to Bourbonnais, where the Bears are not going anymore. And Kyle, what's going on today?
Good morning, everybody. I want to preface this with this statement. I am in no way saying that Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields are on the same level. However, I'm just a little bit concerned because I was at the Denver-Chicago preseason game when Mitch Trubisky did well his first preseason game, and people were very excited, not, I guess, the level of excitement now.
Right.
But can someone help me not freak out? Because I don't want to get my heart broken because I'm just, it's happened too many times, and again, I'm not saying that Trubisky's as good as Fields, but I kind of seen this blueprint before. Can someone make me feel better about this?
I think we can, Kyle. Appreciate the call. Fields is a guy that has a lot more talents, a lot more skills than Mitch Trubisky does. When in college, Fields played against good competition.
Trubisky barely did.
Trubisky didn't play all that often at all.
Right.
In college. And
every time I think of that, Fred, it makes me angry.
Yeah. I know.
I get angry all over again. We need to move on, me included. We've got Justin Fields now.
Yeah. And see, there were other quarterbacks to be taken in that draft. Everyone says, why didn't you take Patrick Mahomes? Well, you weren't saying it then. When the draft happened, everyone said, why didn't you take Deshaun Watson?
Right.
Who knows what would have happened if the Bears would have taken Deshaun Watson.
Now, the way it looks, we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to wait a couple years.
Yeah, we did. So I think they're completely different quarterbacks. And you're probably going to get a chance to see Mitchell Trubisky on Saturday because he is now with Buffalo. Buffalo's coming to town next week. And that'll be the second of the 3 preseason games. The Bears play the second one at Soldier Field.
Did you see what Mitch had said?
No.
It was kind of a veiled, I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically it was something like, you know what, I have a chance to be me now.
That's
fine. Which was a bit of a slam, but we knew that they were trying to get him to do things that weren't really him.
That's
what took him out of that groove.
Right.
Whatever groove he had.
Yeah, and you see that what Justin Fields, I think there's a lot more reason for him to be excited about him and what he could do than there was for people to be excited about Mitch. And there's a lot more reason. I'm looking at Sean keeps smiling in the other room. Sean keeps smiling because Sean knows that Justin Fields, there's a big difference between Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky, right, Sean?
You know, I love our listeners and our callers. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Cal, the first word, right? Composure.
Yeah.
Composure.
Yes. Mitch didn't have any of that. If he did, it was fleeting.
Yes.
Yeah. And it seems like Fields, but just by some of the cuts, the confidence he has going in, the relationship he has with his line and with everybody else, and being able to be the leader coming in right away.
What did you call it, Xander? You called him, he has that humble.
Yeah, he's the cockiest, humble guy.
Cockiest, humble guy.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you hear what he's saying, it's not abrasive or anything, but he's like, the game's slow. I'm cool. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
And the media chuckled when he said, oh, it's slower than I thought.
I know. Right. I was shocked. Yeah. I was shocked when he said that because, but the one thing, the one good thing is you're going up against pretty good defense. If, in fact, in practices, he's going up against the ones, that's nice. It's nice to see.
That's
him
a good
going
training
up against the ones. Yeah. Because, you know, I know Robert Quinn didn't do what he was supposed to do. I know Khalil Mack, according to a lot of people, didn't have the season that they wanted him to have. Some people think that his numbers, analytics-wise, are really, really good. I'm still waiting.
The benefit of him going to a school like Ohio State,
yeah,
facing the type of talent he faced on defense and practice,
that'll get you ready.
To go back
right
to his freshman year when he was behind Jake Fromm
in Georgia.
That Georgia team went to the national championship game,
right,
and Roquan Smith was the middle linebacker.
Yeah,
so he's faced talent,
yeah,
elite talent over the last 4 years. So speed of the game probably wasn't a big. Now it's going to ratchet up.
You would think,
yeah,
right. This isn't it
because they're gonna change a lot of defenses. I think we heard the cut. We've got it here, or we had it here about when Kirk Herbstreit was talking about it. I still have it here, talking about that in colleges when they step to the line of scrimmage and they see a defense, that's usually the defense that they're going to bring. But in the pros, they'll show you one thing, and before the snap, they're going to shift out of it. And Justin Fields has to get used to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He did in college. Now he's going to have to get used to what they do in the pros and the way they're able to switch up defenses and things like that. They're able to bring different
kinds.
And
that's really going to be the gauge, right? Because he has the skill and the athleticism. So how is he going to adjust to the game, the NFL game?
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to have to gauge.
I got to say thanks to the Twitter, the Justin Fields tailgate show. Is the guy that got to me, and he showed me that James Daniels did not play yesterday. He was actually listed first on their depth chart, but he did not play at the guard position yesterday. He's got a nagging injury, so he did not play, so he's not one of the guards that was out there yesterday. So just correcting me, which is good, because like I said, it's tough to watch all the line play when you just watch the game one time.
Right.
I got to go back and watch it again, which is tough to watch preseason football a second time. Let's go to Bronzeville.
It's
very tough. Let's go to Bronzeville. And Kevin, you're on ESPN 1000 with friend Xander. What's up?
Hey, Kevin.
Well, hey, guys. What's the word? I'm going to try to be quick because I'm really excited about the Bears. But this is what I'm saying. I love Justin Fields. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm 28, and this is the first time I've played Madden, and I chose the Bears.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is I think we're disrespecting Andy Dalton a little bit. You know, I understand that we got Fields, and like that was great. But we didn't have a quarterback pick in the draft. So when we brought Dalton in, they knew he was going to play. And I heard a guy compare him to Nick Foles. That's like in no way true. Nick Foles is a bum who got lucky from having one good season with Chip Kelly and turned that into a backup career. Andy Dalton was a starter for a really long time, and they never at any point in Cincinnati wanted to move from him. Like, he was good enough to be the starter there. So to compare him to Nick Foles is ridiculous. So I'm just saying, like, if Justin Fields does like Russell Wilson, like I remember when Russell Wilson was a rookie and Pete Carroll didn't want to start him, but he was too good to deny. If Justin Fields is too good to deny in practice, then that's fine. But if he also can learn, there are things to learn. You know, physically, Andy Dalton has nothing to teach him. But Andy Dalton does have a lot to teach him about being a perennial starter in the NFL. So if Justin Fields is just going to whoop him in practice and Matt Nagy has no choice, then that's fine. But I also don't mind if Andy Dalton takes the field because I don't think he's a bad quarterback. What we saw in Dallas was nowhere near his fault. So I think we should give Dalton a shot.
Yeah, well, you know what, Kevin, appreciate the call. Thanks. It was a very, very good call there.
He's a great point.
Yeah, and I think that the Bears are going to do that. I do not think they're going to rush Fields in. They don't want to rush him. I know that a lot of people think that the way Fields performs is going to be the reason that Nagy and Pace stick around. That probably is. But also,
that's some solid job security.
The later they put him in, the later maybe their job security is. So if you don't start them right away, because if you start them right away and things don't go well, you're going to pull them out. And I don't think they want to do that. I think they want him ready.
Sure.
They want him ready, and when he's ready, they'll put him in and leave him there.
Once you put him in, you have to leave him there unless there's an injury, which is an obvious situation.
Yeah, and hopefully that doesn't happen. We go to Homewood, and Jay, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey.
Hey, I love the other call. I tell you, watching Fields reminded me of a young Wilson. But Andy Dalton has a lot to teach Fields. Whenever you've been in the league 10 years and you throw – whenever you've been in the league for 10 years and you've thrown for 3,000 yards a couple of times, you have a lot to you can teach people. I will say this: I was a little worried about what he said after during the press conference. He seemed I don't want him to be too cocky now,
right?
And I know that's his nature. I don't want to take anything away from him because I think he is just going to be a tremendous player. But just be careful because these NFL players will make you regret it now. We saw that with Cam Newton. So I was like, ugh. I was like, please leave that little part out because they will make you pro. So just be careful. I don't want to take anything away from them. I think it's great, but I like how the Bears are handling it. Let's go with Andy Dalton. Let's let Fields watch the game. Let him learn. Andy has a lot to teach him, and he'll learn about preparation and all of that, and then eventually he'll turn it over to Fields. But I just want Fields to be mindful. This is the NFL, and these players come to eat.
Yeah. Thanks now. Yep, they do. Jay, appreciate the call.
That's a good point.
I love what he said because there's no doubt that you said it. We all heard it in the sound bites from Fields. He's very, very confident, and he's very prepared. He's talked in front of microphones before.
He was on a big stage.
Yeah, he's been on the big stage. He knows what he's doing. I don't think any of those came off to me as cocky, but they can be construed that way.
Well, and that was my point. And that's why I said he was a very cocky in a very extremely humble way.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both there. But, yeah, there's a level of confidence, but I don't think it came off to where it would kind of like...
I don't think so either.
...get the wrong kind of attention.
Right.
But look, NFL players, you've got a job to do, and that's to get the quarterback if you're not on the Bears. You've got to go get him.
Yeah, and I think what Bears fans saw is the future. The future of the Chicago Bears. Now the question is,
when does
that future kick in? 312-332-3776. Fields was very, very good. I don't think it's going to change Matt Nagy's mind on anything. He tried to evaluate Andy Dalton. Nagy did. We'll hear that. We come back here on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Talking a lot about Justin Fields, what we saw from him in his debut in a Bears uniform, the first preseason game yesterday. Bears winning at 20-13. Fields 14 for 20, 142 yards, touchdown to Jesse James. Also, he ran for a score, 8 yards. It was 5 rushes, 33 yards, a quarterback passer rating of 106.7. Now, the starter for the season is going to be Andy Dalton. That's what Matt Nagy has said. He's our starter. He went 2 for 4 the first two series, a couple of 3 and outs, 2 for 4, 18 yards, 62.5 quarterback passer rating. And Nagy said, yeah, it's kind of hard to evaluate what he did.
It was only a few drives, and, it was 3 and outs. I'll go back and watch the tape and see, some of the whys. But it's just, again, I think it's kind of a deal where these guys that aren't going to play very much. Like David's trying, he's trying to tell, hey, give me the ball, give me the ball. He wants like 15 carries preseason one, and I told him he wasn't going to be getting many, so he got his 2 and got out. And so it's hard to answer that question because you don't get in a rhythm. It's just difficult. It's more so, to tell you the truth, with these ones, it's more so to just let them go through pregame. Let them get out there, get the feeling of what it's like to just run a few plays and then get out. And so it's hard to evaluate that.
And that's the way Nagy's always been with his starters.
Yes, remember? He has.
Hey, you look forward to the preseason and you don't see anybody. played.
Based on what he's always done, Justin Fields is going to get the lion's share of the work because he's not the starter.
Right, which is good to see. He's gonna get a chance to work with these guys, working with the second teamers, maybe working with some first teamers, but probably not a whole lot of them. Maybe some of the first teamers in the offensive line. But we're going to see a lot of Justin Fields because Nagy never plays his starters very much in a preseason.
Right. And Justin needs that time.
Yeah, he sure does. Let's go to Gary, Indiana, and Kevin. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
Hey there.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
What's up?
So my question is, if Justin Fields had the exact same career as Cam Newton had, would you be satisfied with that, considering where he was drafted and the fact he's a Bears quarterback?
I think I'd want more, wouldn't you?
If he was an MVP quarterback, that would almost make him the best.
Yeah, but you'd want him
Bears
longer.
Quarterback ever.
Right. You'd want him longer, though.
That's
wouldn't
what
you?
I'm thinking of.
No, yeah. You certainly would, but yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a beggars can't be choosers situation.
Oh, come on. We're beggars and we can be choosers.
I want a Tom Brady type quarterback.
I want a guy that's going to be here until 40.
Five?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think if this one MVP year from a Bears quarterback would be pretty amazing. So.
You're right about that. There's no doubt about that, Kevin. What do you think? What do you think Fields is going to give the Bears?
I really don't know. I don't want to guess and jinx them, so I just look forward to watching.
Okay, Kev, thanks. Well, as we get closer to the season, make sure you keep calling. I think I got to compare sizes because Fields, I don't know, maybe Fields size-wise is a lot smaller than Newton, isn't he?
He's shorter.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, Cam's about, 6'5", 6'4"?
I think so.
And long legs.
Yeah.
Probably about 250. I think Justin's around 225 or something
right,
like that.
Right. Not an incredible difference, but there is a difference, yeah.
Yeah, and let's see. I'm just trying to find out exactly what he is and how tall he is and that kind of stuff because he doesn't, when you look at him, he looks a lot smaller.
When Kevin mentioned Cam Newton, my first thing was, wait a minute.
He says 6'3", 228 for Justin Fields.
Yeah, his career is not long enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Cam should, everybody had the idea that Cam would do more for longer.
Well, would you take Cam's peak? Would you take him reaching Cam's peak?
Well, look, we in that sense, beggars cannot be choosers.
MVP right. Leads your team to a Super Bowl, I mean.
Yeah.
I'll take that, minus the injuries.
6'5", 245 for Cam Newton.
Yeah.
So a couple inches, about 20 pounds. So, yeah, he looks a little bit bigger.
How old is Cam now?
Gotta do some math. Of course, the one thing I have doesn't have his... Okay. It doesn't even, date of birth, he's 32.
Okay.
So, and he's battling for a job in New England with Mac Jones. So, we'll see how that plays out for him. So, I don't know that Justin Fields will ever reach Cam Newton's stylish ability.
Hope not. Let's hope not. Let's hope not. I mean, the suit, when the first day he came after the draft,
yeah.
The red suit was about as far as I want to see Justin Fields go.
Yeah, 312-332-3776. So, again, we have the poll up after watching the success of Fields in his first preseason game. Who looks better this morning, Nagy, Pace, Fields, or the combination of McCaskey and Phillips as they move forward? I'm sure that they all woke up with smiles on their face today.
They all better have.
Yeah, because they know what they have right now in Andy Dalton, and they see what the future looks like with Justin Fields.
It's not a bad spot to be in.
No.
It's about time.
And I think all Bears fans probably went to watch that game and turned it off and said, we're pumped, we're excited. Good things are in the future. Now, we don't know when that future is starting exactly. But
we know it's there.
Yeah, we know it's there. It's not like they're searching for their next quarterback. He's there.
This time last year.
Yeah, he's there. They know he's there. But, he may not be playing right off the bat. Rodney Adams is a guy that had 4 catches yesterday for 57 yards. Jesse James, 2 for 38. This Khalil Herbert is a guy that He played at West Virginia, and Lou Canellis did a feature on him. Virginia Tech, I'm sorry. And 5 years ago, he wrote a story saying that in 5 years I'll be in the NFL. And he's a guy that the Bears like as a running back, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield at 3 catches for 11 yards. Something Bears receivers haven't always done real well, catch balls out of the backfield. We know that David Montgomery can, and then they just stop throwing it to him. But I'm expecting, and I liked when...
Well, things could be different this year.
I liked when Nagy talked about, you know, how Montgomery, he said David. So when Montgomery wanted the ball, he goes, he wanted like 15 carries. He wants to get out there. He wants to run the ball. He wants to show everybody what he can do. And even in the 2 carries he had, the one he shifted, he went into the line and he spun off and ran, and he just looks good. And if I'm Nagy, I say, listen, you just wait. When the Rams are there and we got to run against Aaron Donald and that defense,
right,
then you can worry about, you know, getting 15, 18, 20 carries.
Who was it? I cannot recall because I had to walk away from the TV. Who was it that was, he got tied up, and I thought the play was dead, and then he just popped out of the crowd.
He does it every year. That's Ryan Nall.
It was somebody else earlier.
Nall did it late.
Yeah. No, there was somebody else earlier, and I can't remember who it was. I didn't go back and watch that.
I don't think they had a lot of rushing yards for anybody. Let me go back to the rushing
yards. He just popped out of there. It was like, I thought the play was dead.
Yeah.
But Nall did that as well, right? Yeah. He does that every year, right?
They did have some penalties in the game yesterday. The Bears did. Alex Barrs had a holding penalty. And, you know, you're going to get some of that, especially at the start of the preseason. Let me look here. Running backs. Artavis Pierce. Because he had 5 carries for 50 yards. And he does that, too. They gave him the ball last year, some late in the season, second half. So Pierce had 5 for 50, Nall 3 for 43, Herbert 6 rushes for 38 yards. So they have some competition at the running back position,
which is good to see as well.
So their offense is actually everybody in their offense. I think they have guys that can catch the ball. They aren't playing a whole lot. Mooney didn't get a lot yesterday. Let's see here. Mooney, of course, is on the top of the next page. Mooney didn't have a catch yesterday. It was Adams, Herbert, James, Ridley, Hardy, and then other guys. Komet had 1 for 3 yards. Pierce had 1 for 2. So they didn't get a lot. They got Buffalo coming up next week, a noon kickoff. There's man, they're throwing games on Thursdays and Fridays. They know that people love the NFL, and they're going to watch as much as they possibly can. The Bears' third and final preseason game is August 28th. That is a Saturday night, as they are in Tennessee. So 312-332-3776. You want to jump in, talk more Bears. We are going to get to White Sox right after 10:30. Get into some White Sox stuff. Also want to ask you a question, too, because the Field of Dreams was on Thursday night. And I was listening to Carmen and Yurko the other day. And they were talking about how Carmen convinced his wife to go to a couple games. Like on vacations.
Right.
They're on a vacation, like in New York.
Right. And it would make sense that a Chicago team was playing, but not so much.
No. So he convinced her to go to like a hockey game with no Chicago team playing. And that made me think, is there a sporting event that you convinced your significant other to go to? Because you really wanted to go to it. And she, or he, if you're a woman listening, you want to, you know, maybe you wanted to go to a sporting event, your husband didn't want to go, or whatever, whoever, your significant other, whatever. And did you have an event that you wanted to go to, someplace you wanted to go, and you had to convince your significant other to go to it? I've got a couple of them. You want to jump in, 312-332-3776. We'll talk about that along with some White Sox baseball. We got another Fields call right here. We'll go to Wheeling. And Jeremy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeremy?
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
You guys were referring to a play yesterday with a running back. That was Artavis Pierce.
Yeah, it was.
He was in between two linemen, and then he broke free for, like, I think a 52-yard run.
Now, did you think the play was dead, too?
I didn't even see him because he was mixed in between all
right.
The
and men. He just, even... it's like he got shot out of a group of people. So what? It was really funny. Fun to watch.
What I wanted to say, and I don't know if anybody else noticed, but okay, you saw Dalton, you saw Foles. obviously Dalton's a safer quarterback because he's kind of more of a pocket presence. But I think what we saw yesterday was what Justin Fields can do for this Bears team, and that's more or less him rolling outside. He looked really poised. He didn't fluster like we used to see with Trubisky. When he gets pressure, he would just fluster, throw the ball away, throw it into the hands of a defensive back. I think, you know, like, for example, when they backed him up into the end zone, I mean, he really had nothing going there because there was two penalties back-to-back, and the guy was still able to make a 12-yard completion, although they did punt the ball away. And then I think that other play, I think they were probably at their own 35 or 40, and he was able to scramble outside and throw. I think that was that the guy that had, like, 52 yards receiving, he threw it to him. And
Adams,
I think you could tell the difference between the three quarterbacks, whereas they could cater more to Fields with the playbook. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, Jeremy, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
That's the one thing I brought up, too, because you're going to get Fields. The play calls for him are going to be different than the play calls for Andy Dalton.
They should. They have to be.
Absolutely. Because they are, because he's going to roll out. And how often do we yell for, you know, get Mitch Trubisky out of the pocket, roll him out because he throws better that way, and it didn't happen all that often? Fields does that on a normal basis. So that's going to be part of his game. And I think all the Bears fans are excited to see it. 312-332-3776. If you're a Sox fan, what do you do with the closer role? Kimbrel or Hendricks?
Or neither.
It came up a couple times. Jeff Passan talked about it on the Waddle and Sylvie show the other day. It came up on the Field of Dreams game, and it came up again last night. We'll talk some White Sox baseball when we come back. 312-332-3776. Also, have you convinced your spouse or significant other to go to a sporting event? I got a couple of them, and it's amazing me that I was able to convince them of this. 312-332-3776. We'll get to that. We'll get to White Sox baseball. They wrap up their series with the Yankees later on today. You'll hear it all right here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. Now back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Okay, the White Sox lose last night in 10 innings, 7-5.
Oh, my God. I shot off the couch as soon as that second home run. That Liam gave up, you know, the lead.
Yeah.
The 7-5. I just start getting ready for bed. I'm like, that's enough.
Well, I was so aggravated.
It was a long game, too.
I was so aggravated because last night, when they put that extra guy on, when they put that guy in second base to start the extra innings, it's such an annoyance. I'm pretty sure it's going to go away next year. So
can we trade that for universal DH?
Well, the worst part about it is when you give up a homer, then you're down two runs.
I know.
So and it's tougher to come back.
Yeah, right. Is
and
it
I know
really?
That's part of the point. They want the games to go quicker, and they don't want you to go into the 15th, the 16th, the 17th innings. But the game, you know, it was 3-3. And it was 3-3.
Wait, maybe we can solve this by putting a position player into pitch in the extra innings.
Yeah, it was 3-3, and then Craig Kimbrel came in the eighth inning, and this happened.
Kick and the offer and a line drive deep center, and it is gone. Aaron Judge has given the Yankees the lead on an absolute bullet over the center field wall.
Yeah, the expression frozen rope comes out. You're not going to see a ball hit any harder to straightaway center field than that.
He's exactly right. The Lennon and DJ with the call from last night. The launch angle on that was 17 degrees.
Right. That's ridiculous.
It barely made it over the fence.
Right, right.
It was a rocket.
But it would have shot a hole through the fence if it hit the wall.
I'm surprised it didn't. It was brutal. So then it's 4-3. So the White Sox are down, okay? The White Sox are down. They go to the bottom of the ninth inning. There's two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Ready for another 3-2. The pitch, swing and a high drive. We are tied! Jose Abreu with a home run to left center.
The magic just keeps on showing up night after night for the White Sox.
Now, when Jose Abreu hits home runs, he hits them and he starts running. You don't usually see a lot of excitement from him.
He doesn't savor it.
No.
There's no Tim Anderson savor.
But when he hit the ball, as soon as he got rid of the bat, he went like this with it. You see this on Twitch. He went like this with his hands. And he clapped his hands. Yeah. And I go, he's pumped up. And you don't see him very pumped up.
No, he's a low-key guy.
He is.
He's a quiet leader.
He just hits the crap out of the ball. Right. So now it's 4-4. And they go to extra innings. And there's a guy on second base.
And we have our closer in, right?
And we have the closer in now.
Liam Hendricks,
who needs to bounce back. Because the last time he faced the Yankees, two nights ago, on Thursday in the Field of Dreams, he gave up not one, but two-run homers.
And we came back and saved the game.
So I'm watching, and all of a sudden, there's a man on, and this happens.
Pitch. Gallo with a high drive to right. If it's fair, it's gone by a mile, and it is. And it is a two-run homer, and it's now 7-4.
Gallo leaned all over what appeared to be a fastball. Uppercut swing and a desired result. That's what he was looking for.
When I saw Gallo hit the ball, I actually thought it was going to land on the Dan Ryan. Oh, my God.
That
when he hit it,
shot,
yeah. It just, and I said, oh, my Lord. And both the home runs that they gave up, Kimbrel and Hendricks, were fastballs down the middle of the plate. If you would go to Sluggers back in the day when they had the pitching machine, I don't know if they still have it upstairs, or if you go to any pitching machine, they're pretty much set to throw you fastballs down the middle of the plate. So you can hit
them. They're not throwing you sinkers.
No, they're not tricking you, okay?
Right.
The pitch that Kimbrel threw to Judge and the pitch that Hendricks threw to Gallo,
fastballs.
Anybody in this building on the seventh floor right now, I know Eric was a baseball player. I played Little League. I got cut all the time. Everybody played baseball, okay? We could have hit those balls.
We could have got
as far as they did.
No.
We might have fouled
Maybe
them
foul
off.
Tip, yeah.
But it's like they were perfect pitches right down the middle of the plate. Fastballs down. Now, baseball, people always say, man, it's amazing hitting 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Not when it's in the middle of the plate. It's not. Now, the first pitch to...
If you guess right and it's right down the plate...
It's going. Yeah. And I was so aggravated watching that. That's why I was tossing and turning last night. So, after the game, Tony La Russa was asked about the struggles of Kimbrel and Hendricks, the two guys that are the closers...
The two studs.
...for your Chicago White Sox.
You know what I saw with Kimbrel and with Liam? Those are not safe situations, right? And not that they can't get the outs. You got to give credit to the guys that got the hits. That's not their classic, you know, whether it's the eighth inning with a lead or the ninth inning with a lead. I'm not making excuses for it. It's the truth. And they both could have gotten the outs and the guys put swings on them. But those are not safe situations. And I hope the next time that you see them take them out and we have a lead.
Well, then don't put them in if they're not safe situations. You know?
Right. We have a bummer. We have a Ruiz.
They had to use a lot of pitchers yesterday. The Sox had Dylan Cease, who struck out six, walked nobody, but he gave up three runs and four hits over five innings. We threw 103 pitches. He was going full counts to so many guys leading up throughout the game.
Yep.
Then Crochet came in, went an inning and two-thirds. He struck out the side one inning.
He looked great.
He was so excited walking off the field.
And he needed that.
In the sixth. Tapera came in to get out of a semi-jam in the sixth inning. Kimbrel came in, gave up the run in the eighth. Foster came in. He's always interesting. Walked the guy, gave up a hit.
Why don't you keep a Tapera in for a little longer and push that?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
You can do that. Tapera went seven pitches. Now, you can do that. And I was so happy that he left Crochet. And Sean, I want to ask you, because you're a big Sox guy, were you happy to see Crochet stayed in almost two full innings? He threw 29 pitches, stayed in for an inning and two-thirds.
Yeah, I was happy with Crochet. I was actually happy with Foster. He got out of that jam, in the eighth inning?
Yeah.
ninth inning.
His own jam.
His own jam.
Yeah. Right. But that's important that he gets out of his own jam. That's how these pitchers grow.
Because those are the guys we really need. We need Foster to come back. We need Marshall when he comes off the IL to come back and be effective.
Yeah.
And Crochet has battled the first half of the year to see him be very effective over the last month. Man, it's something that we know come playoff time. It's going to be huge.
Oh, it's huge. Absolutely.
It's going to be huge.
That's why they got Kimbrel to help the back end of the bullpen. Now, you heard what Tony La Russa said. Well, James Fagan from The Athletic followed up on that question.
Good.
I guess just speaking to that, is that, you know, an adjustment period you expect? Obviously, you're not going to use those guys in safe situations every time because you got two of them. Is that an adjustment period you have to see them work through?
No, you got to play the game. You know, we have a chance to win. You know, the score is what it is, and you send your best guy out there, it's Kimbrel. It's just, you know, he's in a tie game, and you understand that that's an adjustment, but they can adjust. But I mean, you're not going to not pitch them because we're not ahead. I mean, it's the reality of the competition, you know. A lot of times you do what you have to do. No, it's not what you want to do. We wanted to win the game, so it didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out.
Wait a minute. Does he sound like Matt Nagy now talking in circles that you have to, you know, dissect what he actually said to get the real meaning?
Sure. I mean, that's...
Come on.
Well, see, he's the guy... Tony La Russa is the guy that actually put together and changed the way bullpens are run and used in Major League Baseball. Years and years ago, he did it.
Well, don't say, though, that you're going to put your closers in, but they're not really pumped
up. In close situations.
Because it's not a close situation. Don't say that.
Yeah. That's why it would have been nice to see Tapera stay out there. And then when Hendricks came out, and I'm watching the TV broadcast, and they were saying that it looked like they were taking him out so he would still be available on Sunday. I'm saying to myself, he better not be available on Sunday. I don't want to see him out there. Not after he's given up three homers in less than two full innings. I don't want to see him out there today.
No, it's been a rough
game. I know he wants to be out there.
Sure.
I'm sure he'd like to be out there.
Because
I'd like
every
Lucas Giolito to go eight.
Because every chance you get to go out there, you can put that other bad performance behind you.
Yeah.
But you take the chance and getting hit again. Look, we can't discount the Judge factor. That guy,
again, he's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
Yeah,
we're playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's a tough team. But obviously Hendricks is not on the top of his game because that's three home runs in two games
in a
late inning situation.
Yeah, let's go to Willowbrook and Owen. Owen, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, when La Russa says it wasn't a safe situation. Well, first of all, Kimbrel in the eighth inning, that's never a safe situation.
Right.
Secondly, if you can't be pumped up against the Yankees in a tie ball game, you don't deserve to be on the mound. And then thirdly, if you look at Crochet and you can't let Judge is the real main guy in that lineup that'll beat you. If you look at Crochet, how did he get him up? Up in the strike zone, And if he walked him, And they got him obviously on a changeup. Where did Judge and I don't even the homer against Kimbrel, you know, down low. Judge was looking fastball down low. He probably faced Kimbrel from Boston, if I'm right. But the thing that really bothers me is if you look at Hendricks at that bat against Judge that he got in the extra innings.
Yeah.
The second strike, he threw a high fastball.
Right.
I don't care how good of a hitter you throw a 100 mile an hour fastball up. You gotta be something special to hit that ball. You throw it down, and Judge will destroy you. And this guy, and as far as Gatto, what got him was the pitch count. He was behind again, and he had to lay in a fastball. You got to be able to pitch up to these guys high and hard, and then if you walk a guy like Judge, you walk him. But you can't let one guy beat you, and that's what they've done.
Right.
Yeah, they did. There's no doubt about it. Owen, appreciate the call.
His location's the issue.
Yeah, on both of them. On both Kimbrel and Hendricks, it was location that got him. Judge with the homer off Kimbrel, Gallo with the homer off Hendricks. 312-332-3776. The White Sox need a save today. Who do you go with? Do you go with Kimbrel? You go with Hendricks? Jeff Passan was on the other day with Waddle and Sylvie. He had his opinion. We'll take your calls. We'll hear from Jeff Passan. We come back. Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So, White Sox news this morning. Prior to the series finale today, the Sox place Leury García on the 7-day concussion list, retroactive to August 13th, and they recall infielder Danny Mendick from Charlotte. Now, when they hit the home run, which home run was it? Oh, the Stanton home run.
Mm-hmm.
Leury García was in left field.
Right.
And kind of fell down when he got to the wall. You think that's when he suffered the concussion? Because he didn't play yesterday.
It didn't seem an obvious injury.
Well, he went
down.
He did go down.
Right.
And because I originally forgot that Leury García was out there, and I thought that was Eloy again. I said, oh, my God. Come on, please.
Right.
So, anyway, Leury García now on the 7-day concussion list. Danny Mendick is back up. So, we'll see what happens. The White Sox go today against the Yankees, wrap up that series.
Now, was it weird to you that Lamb was in the lineup yesterday?
Yes.
When we have a Vaughn.
Uh-huh.
We have a Sheets.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
Sheets is not up.
Right.
But at this point, can we bring Sheets up if that's our option?
They, for some reason, they like Jake Lamb.
Yeah.
Maybe because he can
play. He's had his moments.
Maybe because he can play numerous positions.
Right.
But so can Sheets. Sheets can play first base. He can play right field. But Lamb can also play third base. So I guess that's why they have him. A lot of White Sox fans, I get a little tired of the platooning. And, you know, we're going, like, they went really left, a lot of left-handed hitters, and then they bring in the right-handed hitters afterwards and things like that. I understand Tony La Russa's done that forever. I just think if a guy's a good hitter, especially a right-hander, he's mm-hmm. going to be able to hit mm-hmm. righty and lefties.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Andrew Vaughn in the lineup all the time. I hope he's in the lineup again today when the lineups come
out. Now, I get a day off concept.
Yeah.
But a day off from Abreu is a little different than a day off for Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah.
Age-wise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah.
So why would we put a Vaughn on the bench?
I don't know.
It just made me nuts.
Yeah. So,
but that's Tony.
So how are they going to manage Kimbrel and Hendricks? Now, after the Field of Dreams game on Thursday, when Hendricks, they gave up the 2-2-run homers before the Tim Anderson walk-off. Jeff Passan joined Waddle and Sylvie and talked about how he thinks the Sox are going to manage Kimbrel and Hendricks.
I think the best way to go about this is going to be purely and strictly matchup-based going forward. Now, I'm not sure if Tony La Russa is going to do that. I'm not sure if the White Sox front office is going to provide the sorts of numbers that some other organizations do, but I have faith, honestly, in both of them to handle this the right way. I mean, you know, say what you will about Tony La Russa and his managerial acumen, but this is the guy who brought upon the modern bullpen with the way that he used his relief pitchers, and I'd like to think that he's going to be open-minded enough to understand that if the lineup that's coming up in the eighth inning is more conducive to Liam Hendricks' pitch mix, and he's likelier to get them out, that he's going to have no problem giving the ninth to Craig Kimbrel. But the idea that you're going to do it just to put Kimbrel in the ninth and to have Hendricks in the eighth, I think that would be a silly way to go about things. You know, innings are not specifically made for particular pitchers. It's not about the inning. It's about the matchup. And if you want to play modern baseball the way that it should be played, you go with your best matchup in those situations.
Yeah, so
Makes a lot of sense.
Sure, it makes a lot of sense. So Kimbrel gives up a homer to Judge. Hendricks gives up a homer to Gallo. We'll see what happens today if Lucas Giolito can shut down the Yankees, who the White Sox skipper brings in late in the game to maybe get a save. The lineups are out, and Andrew Vaughn is in the lineup. So that'll make a lot of people happy. The lineup is Tim Anderson at shortstop, Cesar Hernandez at second base. I love this guy. I think he plays a great second base. He hustles. He's
quiet yet effective.
Yes, he's very much so. Jose Abreu is at first base. Eloy Jimenez is in left field. Andrew Vaughn hitting fifth in right field today. Mm-hmm. Yoan Moncada is your DH. Luis Robert in center field. Danny Mendick starts at third base. And Sebi Zavala is your catcher. Sean, how did you feel yesterday late in the game when they have to bring in Sebby Zavala to pinch hit for Zach Collins?
After his two home run game and after the home run in the Field of Dreams,
yeah.
If he had hit a grand slam, I think everybody in White Sox fandom would have lost it.
I was shocked that LeMahieu was where he was to catch the ball. I know, yeah. It was a softer liner,
yeah,
but like he was almost at second base.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, at this point in time, and this goes a long way to what Frank Menachino has done with him since he's come up, because he had no chance.
Yeah,
when he initially
Absolutely.
Came up with the
right.
bat,
yeah,
he had no chance, and he's become what you might say dangerous.
Yeah,
and he may just be getting started.
Yeah,
I was just hoping that the bench would have more to give. I know that earlier in the game they had pinch hit Vaughn. They pinch hit Vaughn in the sixth inning for Jake Lamb, and then they pinch hit Sebby Zavala in the tenth. For Zach Collins. And Zach Collins took a beating yesterday.
He did.
He got hit in the mask one time, and he got hit right in the throat.
Hey, whatever happened to those leather flappy things?
They have them still. They have them. Some catchers wear them.
Some catchers still wear
them. But hanging off the mask?
Yeah, some catchers wear them.
Who did that in the 70s? Was it Gary Carter or
something? A lot of other catchers still wear them. Yeah.
It's like a goatee for a mask.
Yeah, it just hangs. It dangles off the mask.
Right.
To protect your throat.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't wear them.
Why wouldn't you have that on? You
Stone,
know,
Stone mentioned that it was basically, he didn't want to say it's Zach Collins' fault, but he said you got to put your head
you
down,
look
not
down.
Lift it up.
Hey, I was taught that in Little League. Get ball, your head
you get
down.
Your head
tuck
down.
Your chin in.
Uh-huh.
Back to that lineup for a second.
Yeah.
We were talking about Lamb and why he was in yesterday. Didn't make a lot of sense. I would put Lamb somewhere today. You know where I'd put him? In the sixth slot. Or maybe move him down, but give Moncada a rest. What has happened to Yoan this year?
I'd give Moncada a few days rest.
This is what I'm saying. What has happened to him this year?
Yeah.
Is it like a look? The obvious thing is to point to his bout with COVID last year.
Sure.
Is that a residual effect? Nobody's ever brought that up. Maybe it's not, but he just does not look like the same guy.
No, he doesn't. And the two guys the White Sox have recently got back, Jimenez and Robert, they drove in four of the five runs yesterday. And Jimenez almost had another
long
home
run. Yeah.
And both times, Brett Gardner caught the ball in front of the catch sign from the Burley from the Burley perfect game.
Yep.
Yeah, both times, because Collins hit one that almost went out for a grand slam.
Yes, he did.
Collins
he gave that one a ride.
Yeah, which was nice to see. 312-332-3776. We'll talk more White Sox when we come back. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, you can always get to us on Twitter, me at Fred_Huebner.
Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle for me.
Callers hanging there. We'll get right back to you here on ESPN 1000 in just 2 minutes.
You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.